This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.
Hi there, welcome. Thanks for joining us. This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. I'm Peter Gowers. I trust your week is going swimmingly. Let's get to the heart of the NT Independent online newspaper now and chat with the editor, Chris Walsh. Walshy, how are you, mate?
Hey, I'm good, Pete. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. On yet another week when the controversy just won't disappear for this government.
Well, we're into the second week of the Potter scandal here. And this is exactly why, as a leader, you just cut it off right at the beginning. When you know that it's indefensible to begin with, you don't try to make defenses for it and continue on for this long. And there's more coming, and I don't see any way out of this for them at this point. But it's remarkable in what they've done, and I think we're starting to see the effects of it as well in the community.
Yeah, and there is no way out of it. This is the thing. The inevitable will happen, but they've managed to hang on for as long as they have, stupidly, and really all they're doing is causing themselves more damage.
Yeah.
Chris, so last week we talked about what happened with these racist and misogynistic comments and et cetera, et cetera. And now it seems to have spilt over to a former Darwin RSL VP who has called for Harry Potter, as I like to call him, called for his resignation as the Foreign Affairs Minister, and has in very pointed terms said, I do not accept your apology.
Yeah, that's right, Pete. Look, we knew that the veterans were upset. We spoke to a number of them ourselves in the days that followed that. And of course, this gets back to Potter's excuse that the chief minister backed, where he basically said along the lines of the ADF requires a certain person, a certain type of person, he said at one point. All of it inferring that it was the ADF that turned him into this, that made him post these racist, you know, homophobic, misogynistic, and anti-Semitic posts. Well, look, veterans didn't care for that, and a lot that we spoke with were heavily critical of him about it. And then it took, I guess, the former Darwin RSL vice president, a veteran himself with more than 20 years, who came out and said, look, this isn't appropriate. He had sent this letter to Brent Potter, and he said, don't throw us all into it kind of thing. Like, you know, this is all on you, pal. And being an idiot does not excuse your actions. He said in one line, he said that this is not army culture. You were responsible for promoting and advancing the army non-discriminative policy, values, and culture. Now, the guy writing this was Mick Caldwell. He's a former Darwin RSL branch vice president, also head of security for a number of years at Parliament House. So he sent this letter to Potter. He said, you failed your duty. However, your greatest failure is to blame the army for your personal beliefs. I do not believe you are suitable to be the Minister of Veterans Affairs and should resign immediately. Caldwell added that Potter lied to voters ahead of the Fannie Bay by-election. He wrote, you used your army experience to gain office, claiming that the Defense Service gave you a wide range of experiences that would make you a suitable political candidate. You lied to the people of Fannie Bay. Far from blaming the army, you should be quiet because you acted contrary to army high standards. So that was Mick Caldwell. Just really tearing a strip off of Brent Potter. But of course, you know, we know that that this has been kind of permitted, as we said, from Labor. And the, you know, Potter had said that Labor knew about these posts, most of them, some of them, and still selected them. Anyway, it's he you know, and Lawler, even on Monday, was still defending him. That was the first time she had come out, and she said I asked her, because I said, you know, if you had known about these posts, would you have picked him as a candidate? And she said, oh, well, that's a really difficult one, she said. So look, I think she was saying that no, essentially she wouldn't. But then she got back into the lines about, I don't think you can condemn somebody for the rest of their life for something that was done 10 years ago. All of us need to be able to get a fresh start. However, the comments, though, remember, Pete, that have upset the veterans, besides the posts, were the comments that he made after these posts came out. He made these comments where he implicated the ADF in his vitriolic posts just last week on the Thursday, when he finally fronted up to the media to explain himself. And so I don't know how she keeps defending this as saying, oh, this is 10 years ago. All of us need to be able to get a fresh start. Well, no, this was just last week that he stepped in it with the ADF people.
Yeah, it really is. It's unbelievable. I mean, that's the only word you can use. I know we keep using this word over and over again, but it is. So as a result of all this, Chris, she's now under pressure with Parliament back this week. And questions coming thick and fast about how he can remain in Parliament.
Yeah, that's right, Pete. And I think some stress and pressure showing on the Chief Minister here. Now, she had actually shut down, like, that press conference I was at on Monday. I asked more questions as she was leaving. Well, she decided to leave then when I started asking more questions about Potter. And she said, no, that's enough. And she walked off. And I thought, well, that's weird. And then again on Tuesday, same thing. We started asking questions precisely around those comments that he made implicating the ADF, and she didn't want to answer them, and she walked off again. So it's two press conferences in 2 days that she kind of walked out on when she was getting questions about Potter. And now she found herself on Tuesday afternoon, first day of sittings of Parliament, being confronted with this, with these questions during question time from the opposition. And that went on and on for the full, you know, hour there. Everybody in the CLP, I think, got up at one point to ask questions about it, including why. I think mostly it was, why is he still here? I mean, why haven't you gotten rid of him? And, you know, she went back to the old lines of, you know, that she's forgiven him, that he's changed, he's a changed person, and that she, you know, and she started off with one of the responses, very calm, and explaining that she's managed people for a long time, that as a leader, you have to listen and not rush to conclusions. However, when the questions kept coming, she started to unravel a bit. And then at one point, just basically accused everybody in Parliament of being a racist, except for two nuns that were sitting up in the galleries for some reason.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, she said, but, you know, it was the way in which she did this whole thing. Like, she really just impugned the integrity of the entire Parliament, which is not something that you want the Chief Minister to be doing at any time. She didn't have specifics. If she, you know, had to come up, but she would say things like, oh, there were misdemeanors that you won't want coming out, when she was talking to members of the CLP. But she wasn't very clear on what that is. And then she talked about their Facebook posts for a long period of time, saying, I'm sure there's things on there. And then, you know, the you're not proud of, she said. She then attacked Mick Caldwell, the veteran who put his name to a letter to the minister saying that he didn't accept his apology and that he should resign over it. She then attacked him, a private citizen, in the coward's castle, as it were, of course, with the parliamentary privilege that she enjoys. But she said that, you know, after he had, and then this is kind of typical of Labour here, but she said, I don't know if Mick Caldwell should throw rocks at other people. He's probably another one that probably could have a good look at some of the things that are on his Facebook page as well. Again, not saying any specifics here, and clearly not doing her research either. And, you know, we've been in touch with Mick, and I think he's going to be writing a letter to the Chief Minister addressing this, because she's not, like, this is crazy, Pete. Like, the significance of a Chief Minister using parliamentary privilege to attack a private citizen, I've never seen before. But it kind of sets the tone, doesn't it? This is something that Labour's done for a long time, which is why we find it hard sometimes to get people to go on the record to criticize Labour, because, you know, they're afraid of that, or they're afraid of business consequences, or not getting government contracts if they're, you know, vocally critical of the government, which is just a bad place to be living in our democracy, where people are afraid that if they say anything and criticize the government, that they'll be attacked like this. And she's now slandered Mick Caldwell for reasons unknown, other than that he had the courage to stand up and say, look, as a veteran, what Potter did isn't right, and we want him gone. It's just truly remarkable.
Yeah, I think pressure's you know, does interesting things to people. Well, and if I had to look into it deeply, I think pressure is causing her to behave like this.
Well, right, but yeah, and it's kind of the you're right, and it's kind of the effects of the decision that she made to stick with him, and what we're seeing this play out now in the community. I mean, this is terrible. This is why, as a leader, you take a strong decisive action, principled action, and you get rid of somebody like this right away. Because here's what's gone on now, Pete. So Robin Lamley posted a post on Facebook about Chancey Paik defending Potter on ABC Radio that morning. A person then commented and said, I'm 27 and on a journey, so it's okay for me to say Chanston is a useless black homo, which is just a disgusting comment to make. But this is the new reality that we're living in the Northern Territory, where, essentially this Labour government and the chief minister and the police minister have now armed racists with a defense or an excuse for making racist comments on social media and just saying, well, I'm in my 20s, I'm on a journey. So I should, shouldn't be held responsible for this. And my actions are excusable, man. This is, I can't even begin to understand why Lawler would let this come to this, but this is what we're seeing now. And honestly, it's disgusting, Pete. And I'm just really at a loss of words for how to describe where we are now because of this and the lack of action that was taken and lack of leadership that's led us there. I mean, yeah, no consequences for anything. We get back to that again. And, I don't know what Labour's thinking on this, but they've got a reverse position here soon.
Yep. I don't know what they're going to do either, but I wasn't surprised to see a comment like that because, as you said, essentially they've opened the door to it. I must admit, I'm waiting for what I'm going to be labelling the Murphy excuse from now on, which is just say, well, I might have said it. I don't know if I said it, but
yeah.
I was too drunk to remember.
That's the other thing here, right? Yeah, they're letting bad behavior go unpunished here with no consequences, and we're letting them get away with these cheap excuses instead of taking responsibility and then having consequences happen to them.
Exactly. And that leads us beautifully to our next story, because if there was going to be consequences, that is being severely hampered, because the ICAC's now come out and said that a number of investigations that he's overseeing are moving at a glacial pace because the cabinet are essentially obstructing him from getting information he needs to carry out his cases or his investigations effectively.
Yes, at least some of them in those political ones. I honestly think they're moving at a glacial pace because of Riches himself. I mean, look, this guy, I don't think anyone has a lot of faith in him anymore. And look, this little general report that he tabled in Parliament here, it's confusing again. It goes back to one of his best ones where he said that there was no widespread corruption in the public service, and then proceeded to inform us of all the widespread corruption that was going on that he was doing nothing about. But in this report, the only thing that we could get out here that was really clear was this, that the Labour government has blocked him from accessing cabinet documents at least five times over the last 2 years. Now, this is despite concerns being raised that ministers have been misled, which we talked about before. You would think that they'd want to know that. And also, that misconduct had transpired. However, he said it's affected the performance of his functions. And he said that while not naming names, which he doesn't like to do, he suggested that he had looked at whether a certain minister, quote, took appropriate steps to manage a conflict of interest in cabinet. Later on, he talks about another, he said he had been rejected. I think he put in six times and four or five of them had been rejected. Five of them. And I think he was waiting for the sixth one to come back, where he said that very recently he had asked for cabinet documents related to a minister, whether the minister and or cabinet itself took appropriate steps to manage a conflict of interest. So we'll just let people use their imaginations on who they think he's talking about there. But here's the thing. He says, in short, there's little I can do to address those allegations, and I will take no further action because of the way the laws are here. The cabinet can hide behind this cabinet confidentiality stuff. Now, he pointed to New South Wales, and he said that that they have set up a process to manage access to cabinet documents. And this is something that needs to be done, that none of the material that's confidential would be exposed at that time. But that if it's in the interests of exposing corruption, well, a cabinet, you would think a responsible cabinet would want that getting out and getting resolved. Pete, yeah, but this cabinet now, the secrets have to remain there, and they're not going to hold anyone accountable.
No, that seems to be the theme. Chris, I thank you for your time. Look forward to catching you on the weekend edition.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. There's going to be a lot more coming up before then, so it'll be a good chat on the weekend. We'll see you then.
That was Chris Walsh from the NT Independent. Weekends with Walsh, you're back again on Saturday morning. And we'll catch you again next week for the Territory Story Podcast News Bites.
That was the Territory Story News Bites for this week. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.